Good morning. It has been great that I got the chance to preach today, and it has been, I think, more than two years. And every time I preach, I'm just like, oh, why did I volunteer? It always stresses me out. But here I am, and when I came to the church today, and then Chris just asked me, so Ruth, are you talking about yourself today, you know, from the book of Ruth? Well, it is not necessary about Ruth. Okay, we are going to talk about another character from the book of Ruth. And then today is also, I mean, this month is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And then I just want to, you know, share with you why I choose the book of Ruth, and then why I choose this character, so that we can bring some awareness about mental health. And it is also Star Wars Day, but I'm not going to mention anything about Star Wars. Okay, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for preparing our heart with the worship that Jonah and Ellie led us. And thank you from the song that you remind us that you are going to hold us fast. And just be with me and be with everyone who is going to serve today, who has been serving and did a lot of preparation for the past 1 week. And bless those who cannot come here today, whether they are with families or because they are not feeling well. Just bless them that they can have good time and good rest in you. And use me that I can share your words. In this name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read from Ruth, chapter 1:1-2. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. The book of Ruth opens with pain and loss. Israelite society was fractured. Everyone did as what they saw fit. You know, it was very chaotic. Amid this moral and spiritual chaos, a famine struck the land. Elimelech, with his wife Naomi and their two sons, they left their homeland in search of survival, settling in Moab, a land historically hostile to Israel. They didn't leave in hope, they left in desperation. Moab wasn't just foreign, it was enemy territory. Just imagine if one day we need to move to Russia. You know, how do you feel about that? Okay. So it is a place marked by betrayal and idolatry. Moving there wasn't merely difficult, it was dangerous. So Elimelech and Naomi left more than a place. They left community and spiritual heritage, and perhaps the sense of God's nearness. Sometimes survival costs us more than they expect. Okay, and some of us in this congregation understand that kind of journey. The Chiquadas, the Mavericks, and my friends Dina, the Olates, Elizabeth, Luna, and myself, we have left our homelands behind. So I remember leaving Indonesia at 18 with two suitcases, flying to Taiwan. I cried all the way to the airport. And on the plane, I didn't know if, you know, and also on the plane, I was just like crying the entire time because I didn't know if I would return. It was not my first time leaving home because I was already, you know, living home for 3 years when I went to high school. But now, 26 years later, I have moved even farther. So Elimelech's family didn't know how long the famine would last. Moab didn't promise comfort, just food, with the price of isolation and uncertainty. So when I moved to Taiwan, I developed severe insomnia. Anxiety gripped me nightly. I believe in God, but fear kept whispering, "What if I fail? What if I cannot survive?" In Taiwan, everyone looked like me, you know, they look Asian, you know, except when I start to say something, they'll just like, look at me, just like I'm an alien. Okay, so it's still difficult. And the food was different as well. Did Elimelech and Naomi lack faith by going to Moab? No. Trust in God doesn't mean we are never afraid. It means we keep moving forward, trembling, but believing. Trust is built through hardship and grace. Maybe my insomnia wasn't because I didn't trust God, but probably because I didn't yet know Him deeply enough. He promised to provide, but life still felt brutal. Hope felt distant. Even when we do trust God, uncertainty often lingers. That doesn't make us faithless. It makes us human. And then tragedy struck from verse 3 to 5. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Let's pause here to feel the weight of Naomi's loss. She left home not chasing dreams, but escaping hunger. And in that foreign land, she lost everything she hoped to preserve. Her husband gone, her sons gone, her arms empty, her heart shattered. Grief clung like a fog. Joy faded into memory. Can you imagine her anguish? Did she even sleep? Could she get out of bed? Grief, like anxiety or depression, doesn't follow a schedule. It hits in waves. Some strong enough to knock us over. Naomi's story bears the marks of trauma. Like many of us, she may have wondered, is God punishing me? Have I done something wrong? Why does suffering keep finding me? Even Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes the silence of God feels louder than the pain. But then something changes. Verse 6 to 7. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. God meet us in our pain. God doesn't always remove the pain, but he enters into the pain. He didn't take the cross from Jesus. He let him carry the cross and then raise him in glory. In Naomi's sorrow, God seemed absent, but he was already planting seeds of redemption. Looking back, I see how God met me in my sleepless nights, barren seasons, and heartbreak. He didn't part the sea for me, okay? But he cared for me quietly, faithfully, step by step, moment by moment. When God met me in my pain, I didn't always praise Him. I was angry, exhausted, hopeless. But I still pray, God, you know me. Please help me. I still believe you care. To be met by God in our pain, we must also allow Him in. Not by running, but by returning, just like Naomi did. Despite her grief, Naomi made a brave and quiet choice. She turned toward home, toward her people, toward her God. The same God whose name echoed in her husband's name, Elimelech, my God is king. And still she returned, not with confidence, but with courage. Because even when life feels unmanageable, especially when mental health is strained by trauma, stress, or biology, we are not powerless. Conditions like anxiety, depression, PTSD, these are not moral failures, and they are not things we can just snap out of it. You know, just like, okay, gone. We cannot do that. But in the midst of them, we can choose to reach for help, to return to the one who sees us, to believe, even faintly, that healing is possible. Naomi made that choice, even in ruin. Even with no guarantees, she entrusted herself again to God. And her journey reminds us God is still working in grief, in silence, in questions. And when we return to Him, we may find He is already on the road to meet us. Because God walks with us through the silence. Verse 8 to 9. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye. They wept aloud. Naomi, broken and grieving, urged her daughters-in-law to return to their families. She had nothing left to offer, not even hope. Verse 12 and 13, return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even I thought there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Her words were steeped in sorrow. She didn't just feel grief, she felt abandoned. The Lord's hand has turned against me, she said. Naomi still believed in God, but her faith wore mourning clothes. She acknowledged Him but couldn't feel His goodness. Have you felt that way? You know God is there, but you cannot feel His goodness. Even then, her heart was still soft enough to bless. May the Lord show you kindness. May you find rest. That's love, even when life feels unfair. She tried to release them from her pain, to give them the chance of joy, even as herself stood in the ruins. Because going back isn't just a journey of distance. It is a journey through identity, loss, and surrender. Verse 14, then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And here everything changes. We live in a culture that says, don't burden others. Do everything yourself. So we isolate. We stay silent. We think we are protecting others from our pain. So, all of you at Connection Church, if you are in trouble, who are you going to call? Do you trust anyone from the church enough that you can share your trouble, right? We have to think about it. Or do we just like feel, oh, do not burden others. No, I cannot call other people. If that's the first thing that came to your mind, then we got trouble. You know, there's a problem here, okay? So I remember during my divorce, Pastor Steve gently encouraged me. So Pastor Steve is my pastor from another church where I used to work before. So reach out to someone who knows and loves you every week, even if it feels awkward. It did feel awkward because this divorce doesn't make you make for a cheerful small talk. Oh, I just got divorced, you know. Meet everyone, just I just got divorced, you know. But I did it. Each week I reached out. I let them see the pain. And they didn't try to fix me. They simply listened, they stayed. And through their presence, I saw something holy. Even when God feels silent, he walks with us through the silence. Sometimes he shows up in the people who sit beside us in the storm, not with solution, but with his presence. That's why the words Ruth clung to her stir me so deeply. The Hebrew word dabak means to bind, hold fast. It is a covenant language. It is the same word used to describe marriage or a soul bound to God. Ruth was not offering herself to Naomi, to offering Naomi comfort, okay? She was offering herself. So she was not there just like, okay, Naomi, I'm going to comfort you. No, she was offering herself. And verse 16, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And a little bit history about my name. That's how I was named, Ruth. I was named by my mom's colleague, who became a teacher when I was middle school. And then one day she came and asked me, do you know why I named Ruth? I said, no, because I want you to follow God wherever you go. So for Ruth, this was not obligation. This was covenant love, shared suffering, relentless loyalty. Ruth's presence reflected the heart of God. A God who clings to us, a God who holds fast, who doesn't abandon us in silence, who stays even when we try to push him away. When Ruth refused to leave, she wasn't just loyal, she became a vessel of grace. And sometimes that's how God works. He shows up in people who will not let go, who walk with us not out of duty, but out of deep, faithful love. The story of Ruth shows us that even when the future is unclear, God is still unfolding his goodness. And so in our hardest moments, it is okay to reach out, to lean on those who will walk with us. Yes, boundaries matter, okay? But so does connection. A loved one, a therapist, a prayer partner, a small group, this may be the very hands God uses to steady us. We don't have to carry grief alone, because sometimes God's voice is heard in silence, but his love is felt in presence. So cling if you need to. Let others in. Let faith carry you, because healing doesn't begin in isolation. It begins in relationship, and God walks with us even in the silence. Because he walked with us in the silence, he also restores our hope. Verse 19. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? The road from Moab to Bethlehem must have been long, quiet, and heavy. But at least they walk the road together. When Naomi returned, the town stirred. Can this be Naomi? The woman whispered. But Naomi, whose name meant pleasant, replied, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortunes upon me." Naomi returned, not with joy, but with grief. Not with arms full, but empty. Not with blessing, but bitterness. She no longer recognized herself. She didn't try to cover her sorrow. She named her sorrow. And sometimes that's the most courageous thing we can do, to name the pain, to tell the truth. It is difficult to name our emotion. Every week I'm helping a client as an interpreter for, you know, for a psychologist. And then that's the thing that the psychologist always asks, what is your emotion? Name your emotion. And then he would say, I never think about it, you know, it's just so every day, because it is hard to name our emotion. Naomi named his emotion and tell the truth. But what Naomi didn't see yet was that God was already at work. Verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Just as Naomi believed her story was over, a new chapter was beginning. The land that had once been barren was now bearing fruit. Famine was giving to harvest, was giving way to harvest, and standing beside Naomi was Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, the unlikely one. Naomi felt empty, but she was not alone, and Ruth, this outsider, would soon become God's answer to Naomi's pain. She would glean in fields, provide food, and eventually marry Boaz. And through Ruth would come Obed, and from Obed, Jesse, and from Jesse, David. And generation later, Jesus. God used a widow, a foreigner, a woman with no status or resources to restore Naomi's hope, to redeem her story. Because that's what God does. Even when we cannot see it, even when we feel forgotten, God is already unfolding a plan not just to soothe the pain, but to bring beauty out of it. Remember this, God is with you. He meets us in the pain. He walks with us in the silence. He brings hope even in our most fragile moments. Mental health matters. Your heart matters. Take a deep breath. Be honest about the struggle. Lean into community. Let faith carry you. Even if all you can do is simply keep going. Like Ruth and Naomi, you are not forgotten. You are being led toward healing even now. And if you are the one faithfully caring for a loved one with a mental health struggles, please hear this. God has not forgotten you either. He sees your quiet sacrifices, your unseen tears, your weary prayers. He meets you in your pain. He walks with you through the silence. And yes, he's restoring your hope too. You are not alone in the care you give. You are being gently carried by the one who never grows weary. To all who grieve, who hope, who struggle, who serve, may the Lord be with you. And may his new hope rise in you today. Amen.